right, take your Bibles, turn to Deuteronomy chapter 6. Deuteronomy chapter 6, we're kind of carrying on with the theme I have, let's keep the home fires burning. And I will just say this before we read our scripture, you know, again, this message as a whole may be kind of focused in, it is kind of focused into we parents, I will say that. And if you knew in prep when I was preparing this message, I don't know, it was something else. I've done something I haven't done in a long time, and because of the thought processes that the Lord just kind of gave me, and we'll see how it works out. But a lot of my notes tonight are written notes. That's not a good thing. That may be a good thing because I may not be able to read it, and whatever. But it's unusual. I had a different message, different line. I was going along the same line, and God gave me something totally different this weekend along the same topic, if you will. And I didn't have my laptop with me when I did it, and so I used my hand. So we'll see how it works. But I do want to say this, you know, even though the message, you know, and some of the messages Sunday night coming forward for a couple more weeks anyways may be geared to a particular group, but I do believe that everybody, it can help everybody here. Some have already done your parenting, and you say, glory to God, you know, but maybe there's a few things here that might help you as you are helping raise your grandchildren in ways, or even leading a Sunday school class, or whatever the case may be. Some of you haven't parented yet. That would be mostly a lot of you younger kids, teenagers, obviously, and maybe some singles or whatever, but you've not parented yet. But, you know, it'd be good to put some of this, whatever is preached tonight, maybe in a memory bank somewhere, because somewhere along the way you're going to need some of these tips. Some of you are parenting. Probably that's a lot of us here. We are parenting. We still have our kids at home. Amen and amen. And we're trying to teach them and train them in different things. So yeah, even though it may seem like it's kind of geared to a certain group as a whole, I do believe any time, and I've always had this thought process, any time the man of God gets up something, there's always a nugget of truth I think you can get a hold of. And I hope it'll help everyone tonight. I am going to preach to you in just a moment on the subject of the world's greatest undertaking. Parenting is probably one of the biggest undertaking that we can ever endeavor, if you will. It's one of the biggest jobs, if you will, that we can ever work at. And I'm not going to stand here tonight and say I have an A+ in this area of parenting. Probably it's more of an E for effort. But I am going to try to, from a biblical standpoint, you know, and of course we ought to be taking the Word of God, as we'll talk about, and setting up guidelines according to the Word of God in parenting and teaching our kids and training our kids. So anyways, Deuteronomy chapter 6, and let's stand for the reading of the Word of God. We'll read responsively verses 1 through 9. There are some long verses here, but we'll read responsively verses 1 through 9. I'll read, and then you read Deuteronomy chapter 6. Now, these are the commandments, the statutes, and the judgments which the Lord your God commanded to teach you, that ye might do them in the land whither ye go to possess it, that thou mightest fear the Lord thy God to keep all his statutes and commandments, which I command thee, thou and thy son's son, all the days of thy life, and that thy days may be prolonged. Hear therefore, O Israel, and observe to do it, that it may be well with thee, and that ye may increase mightily as the Lord God of thy fathers hath promised thee, in the land which floweth with milk and honey. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord. And thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thine heart, and with all thy soul, and with all thy might. And these words which I commanded thee this day shall be in thine heart. And thou shalt teach them diligently unto thy children, and thou shalt talk of them when thou sittest in thine house, when thou walkest by the way, and when thou liest down, and when thou risest up. Thou shalt bind them for a sign upon thy hand, and they shall be as frontlets between thine eyes. And thou shalt write them upon the posts of thy house and on thy gates. Now, Heavenly Father, Lord, we certainly do thank you for this time, Lord, and I need you tonight, Lord. I know I feel a little weary this evening, but I do need you this evening, and I pray, God, that you'd give me strength. I pray, God, you'd help me to say exactly what you'd want said tonight. And I pray, Lord, that you'd open our hearts. I pray, God, that we all might get something from this particular message tonight that may change our life or even change our home or change our parenting or whatever the case may be. Holy Spirit, I pray, God, that you'd have your will and way now in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. Again, one of the hardest areas of life is that of parenting. Teaching our kids, training our kids, and even being consistent. We'll see that in a moment. I want to just say this. I'm going to open it with an illustration that I came across as I was studying for this message. Former President George Bush was asked this question: what is your greatest accomplishment in life? President Bush might have mentioned his success during World War II as a Navy pilot. He might have called to mind his 8 years as vice president under President Ronald Reagan. He might have mentioned his own successful presidency. He might have spoken of his time as a head of the CIA or of his years as U.S. ambassador to China. He could have bragged about his success during Operation Desert Storm. But when answering this question, President Bush revealed his heart as well as his priorities when he said, "My greatest accomplishment is that my children still come and see me." Pretty big accomplishment. And it's obvious that Mr. Bush, President Bush, had done right by his children. If they still, of course, long and desire to come see him, he'd obviously done right by his children. They responded to his investments and in their lives and will remain a legacy to that man even after he's dead and gone. And, you know, I will say this, I want to do right by my kids. And the truth is, when I got into this parenting thing some 18, 19 years ago, I didn't know how to do it. And my wife and I both will admit we didn't know how to do it. But I thank God we both had godly parents that taught us. And of course, we took a lot of what they taught us and implemented it in our home. And of course, it was biblical teaching. Also, of course, we got into the Bible as well and learned what the preacher taught on it and learned what we need to learn from reading the Bible about training our kids and, of course, setting some boundaries and so forth. But I do want to say this also by way of introduction, that our children are a precious gift from God. You know, a very, very precious gift. I realize it more now than ever, if you will. I realize it so much more, seeing how I had my first daughter go off to Bible college and so forth. And I realize every day I miss her. I miss her. And I've tried to be a little more mindful of my schedule and trying to do different things and trying to even open up more of my schedule so that I can just hang around the kids a little bit more, if you will. But our children are a precious gift from the Lord. I say that last statement there, you know, I had the opportunity to take, I took the three that I have in my home, you know, I took them out to Red Robin the other night. And you know, of course, you do that, you build precious memories, but sometimes I just like to hear them talk. You know, of course, we're in Red Robin, and, you know, you just kind of hear them talk, and I'll just say it, Cody's kind of a ham at times and so forth, but, you know, I had a very good time and building memories, if you will. But our children are precious, and I hope mom and dad, you know, if anything, understand that. You know, even if they're all grown up and so forth, understand they're a precious gift from God. If they're still living in your home, understand that they're a precious gift from God. The Bible says in Psalm 127, 3 through 5, "Lo, children are an heritage of the Lord, and the fruit of the womb is his reward. As arrows are in the hand of a mighty man, so are our children of the youth. Happy is a man that hath his quiver full of them. They shall not be ashamed, but they shall speak with the enemies in the gate." Too often our parenting, or parents, if you will, and I see it more outside the Christian realm, even as I visit perhaps bus routes and stuff, too often parenting becomes an inconvenience, a sad. Too often, if we're not careful, it can become a nuisance. And because we think that parenting, which is a responsibility that God gave us, because we think that parenting's a nuisance, you know what? It won't be long before you think your children's becomes a nuisance, and therefore you're just kind of distancing yourself. We ought not ever feel that our children are a nuisance. We ought not ever feel that our responsibility to parenting is an inconvenience. You know, you understand that you only have them for a little while, and we need to take the precious time that we have with our precious children and do everything we can to teach them and train them according to the Word of God. And we need to be reproducing ourselves. We'll be talking a little bit. I'll be zooming in a lot on parenting here in just a moment. But we need to be reproducing ourselves. And we need to be leading by example. We need to be a godly dads, if you will. We need to be a godly example to our children. Something that gives them a desire to implement who we are. I'm talking about as a godly parent. They ought to desire, I want to be like my godly dad. I know my dad's godly. I know my mom's godly. And I want to follow in them the footsteps. Paul told Timothy that, teaching him about passing on his faith and so forth. And we ought to, in parents now, we ought to desire to be passing our strong faith that we ought to have in God, and desiring to pass that faith on down to the next generation. A lot of the problems that we have in America is simply because there's problems in the home. I'll say that again. A lot of the problems that we have in America, it's not necessarily leadership in the White House, and it's not necessarily that. A lot of it is just because we won't be consistent in the home and teaching our kids. And it falls on our shoulders. I'm talking about Christianity's shoulders, Christian parents' shoulders. It falls on our shoulders, the responsibility of being consistent and teaching our children the principles of the Word of God. So what does it involve? What does it involve to go ahead and be a parent? What does it involve? I'm going to give three quick things tonight. I hope I can read this. But number one, out of this passage, I find that it involves right living. Not perfect living. We'll never be perfect this side of heaven. But we ought to be living righteous. We ought to be leading by example. We ought to be living a right life. And I'm talking to parents here for a little while, but I hope everybody can go ahead and glean something. Again, it may help you in other areas of your life, and I hope it will. But the Bible says in verse number 1, 2, and 3, now these are the commandments, the statutes, and the judgments which the Lord your God commanded to teach you, that ye might do them in the land whither ye go to possess it. That thou mightest fear the Lord thy God, and keep all his statutes and his commandments, which I command thee, thou and thy son's son, all the days of thy life, and that thy days may be prolonged. Hear therefore, O Israel, and observe to do it, that ye may that it may be well with thee, and that ye may increase mightily, as the Lord God of thy fathers hath promised thee, in the land which that floweth with milk and honey. So, what's it involved to be? What does it involve to be a good parent? Number one, we got to live righteously. It involves right living. Successful parenting always involves a relationship with God. Always, if you're going to be the kind of parent that God wants you to be, you know what? You've got to go ahead and know God. Amen. You've got to be saved, and you've got to know God. You've got to, if you're going to be the right kind of leader, dad, if you're going to be the kind of dad you ought to be, mom, if you're going to be the kind of mom that you're going to be, you must know God, and you must be in His will. Now, let me go ahead and take it outside the realm of parenting here a minute. If you're going to be the kind of Sunday school teacher, God has given you a group of kids, or even teenagers, or adults, or whatever the case may be, you need to have some right living about you. You need to know God. If you're going to be a successful Sunday school teacher, then you've got to have a good relationship, a great relationship with God. And once you get saved, boy, old things have passed away, all things have become new. So there ought to be a desire in you to say, you know what, I'm hungry for God, I'm hungry for the things of God, and I want to get to know God very, very, very intimately. By the way, our God wants to know us intimately. He wants to know you. That's why He saved you. He saved you to go ahead and glorify Him. And He wants to get to know you personally. He says, enter into my closet. Have a time where it's just you and Him. And if you're going to be a success in anything that you do, you got to know God. You're going to be a success on the job. Boy, you know what? You got to know God. Know the principles of the Word of God, of what it says about hard work. Amen. You know, I'm talking about working 40 hours a week for 40 hours pay and working hard. And if you got to work overtime, give it all you got. You know, whatever it is that you're going to do, Okay, and if you're going to be a success at it, you got to know God. If you're going to be a good parent, a successful parent, it always involves, first of all, a relationship with God. It is you say, I'm going to live right. You're going to step out of the old ways and become a new man, as the Bible says, once you get saved, and you're going to desire His will, and you're going to desire to do exactly what God wants and not turn from it. So, you know what? What is the will of God for us? Well, first of all, we know it's salvation, okay? You got to desire God's will. I got to take this off. I'm sorry. I'm doing okay. Don't need to adjust the temperature, but I'm getting a little bit warm up here. But what is the will of God? Of course, salvation. He's not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. He's not willing that any should perish. He wants everybody to be saved, okay? So to be a success anywhere in life, okay, it starts out at salvation. You know, I know the world says success is however much you make and however big and fat your bank accounts are and what kind of car you drive, what kind of house you drive. You know what? At the end of the day, none of that matters. Amen. Okay, but what you do for Christ will matter. Amen. Okay, we got to get on the same page there, because sometimes we're so concentrated. And again, I'm not against stuff, and I'm not against God's blessing you. And most likely, if you're a child of God and you're doing things by the book, and He's blessing you, it's because you're doing something right. Probably you're handling your money right, you're tithing, you're doing everything, and He is in turn blessing you, and He's giving you some stuff. Hey, I'm not saying there's anything wrong with stuff, but sometimes we get so focused in upon everything that we can get. And some it's even seeped into the walls of our independent Baptist churches. We want more, we want more, we want more. You know what? Why don't we desire, we want more of Him. We want more of Him. But you know, but what is the will of God? Starts at salvation, baptism, growing in grace and the knowledge of our Lord and Savior. And then, of course, as you do that, you will desire, okay, your will go ahead and be turned over to His will. Okay, what you thought, what you wanted to do back in old time, if you will, should be all pushed away. Say, okay, God, I'm saved, I'm baptized, I'm growing in grace. Now, God, I want to do whatever it is you want me to do. If it is to drive a bus, great. If it's, I want to be the best parent that I can be. I want to be the best Sunday school teacher I can be. I want to be the best teenager in the home that I can be. I want to be the best bus driver, bus captain, youth worker, whatever the case may be. God, whatever it is, I want to go ahead and do it. I want to go ahead and stay focused upon you. So, what is it? What does good parenting, if you will, and that's kind of where I'm at this evening, what does it require? It involves right living. It involves leadership by example. It involves you having a personal relationship with God. It involves you desiring to be in His will and not be defiant to what God wants. You know what? The moment, listen, leaders, if you will, dads and moms, you know what? You become defiant against God. You know what? You are setting a very bad example for them children of yours that God has given you. Again, they're very precious. They're a precious gift. If they see you not care about God and His will, what's that setting for them? You know, I guarantee you, them vulnerable minds, if you will, them impressionable minds, if you will, when they see their mama and their daddy, who's supposed to be the spiritual leader of the home, they say no to God, no to God, no to church, no to Bible reading, no, 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 no. What is it going to tell them? You know, we ought not be defiant to the will of God. God desires us to grow in grace, and we ought to desire whatever it is you want me to do, God, I'll go ahead and do it. But you know what, when we rebel against God, is it no wonder why they'll go ahead and rebel against God as well? We must not be defiant. We must be righteous living, if you will. We must be leading by example. And I'm not talking about leading by example the wrong way. You're a leader, but what I mean by that, you're a leader, but maybe you're doing some wrong things, and the wrong things that you do, they'll pick up. Well, my dad doesn't seem to think that church is all that important, so why should I? And you know what? Let me tell you something. If we don't get our homes right, church, if we don't get our homes back and focused upon God, you know what? You know what? Our nation's done. Because we're not doing anything to go ahead and help produce the next generation, the next Christians, if you will. You know, the Bible says right here, a little food for thought here. You know what? We are responsible for three generations. Bible says it. Let's look. That thou mightest fear the Lord and keep all, verse number 2, and keep all His statutes and His commandments, which I command thee, thou, Moses, if you will, sir, ma'am, thou, and thy son's son. That's a big responsibility. And we, sir, okay, daddy, if you will, we have that responsibility to go ahead and what God has taught us through his book, to go ahead and pass on to the next son, the next generation, if you will. And if you live long enough, you know what, after, and your son gets married, you know what, you still, even if you're 80, 90 years old and maybe no teeth, get a little light here, okay? But you know what? Your son has some children. You still, because you've instilled your faith into your child, your son, and they go ahead and they pass on their faith to their child, and you're still up here, still breathing and so forth. You still are required, if you will, to be an example to your grandson. You know what? We bear it when you think about it. We bear a lot of responsibility, leader, dad. We bear a lot of that. But you know what? We must not, what's it take? It takes righteous living. It takes, us saying yes to God and not no to God. That must mean I must be in the book. The Bible says it, teaches it right here in the first three verses. I must do what it says. If I'm going to lead by example, I must, to the best of my ability, go ahead and follow what it says. I must go ahead and follow the precepts of the Word of God. I must fear the Lord. The Bible says right here in verse 2 that thou mightest fear the Lord. You know, let me ask you something. Mama and Daddy, do you stand in awe of God? I mean, is God really awesome to you? Do your kids know that, boy, God is an awesome God? Do they know that you have a high respect for God? Is God the first and foremost in your home? Boy, do they see that God's will is important to you? So that they go ahead and say, you know what, I want to serve God like my mama. Boy, maybe your mama's been a faithful nursery worker or a faithful Sunday school teacher in a particular department for so many years. And you know, it says a lot to your kids. Maybe a daddy's been a faithful deacon or a faithful worker or a faithful bus driver. I think of a guy right now, faithful, driving a bus for some 40 some odd years. That's his ministry. A few other things as well. But he, that's his ministry, and he goes ahead and he's been there, and boy, you know what, he'll tell you he's seen hundreds of thousands of bus kids in them 40 some odd years come on and off that bus. Boy, what a testimony. Boy, you know what, faithfulness is so very important. We'll talk about that in just a moment. But you know what? You must fear the Lord. Do you have an awesome respect? Is God awesome to you? Do you have a respect? Do you revere God? And then, of course, go ahead and keep the word of God. The Bible says that thou mightest fear the Lord and keep all of his statutes. That's keep it. That's do it. And that's guard it. Guard what the Bible says. Take a stand for the Bible. You know what? Take a stand. You know, if anybody, you hear anybody going ahead and casting stones, so to speak, at the book, boy, you ought to take a stand for the Word of God. Boy, it's our lifeline, and boy, we need to take a stand for the Word of God. Let me tell you something. God, Jesus, if you will, he took a stand for us. Why can't we take a stand for him? We need to take a stand for him. Stand for the Word of God. Keep what you read and allow it to be a part of your life. Your obedience to God will be an example to your children. I want my children, if you will, to desire just being whatever it is that God wants them to be. That's it. You know, some people say, well, you're a preacher. You must be trying to force feed all your kids to go ahead and be full-time Christian service. No, I'm not. That's not my responsibility. That's God's. My responsibility is to go ahead and teach them and train them the way they should go and teach them the Word of God and me be consistent in what is right, you know, walking with God, praying for them, teaching them right and wrong, getting them to church, getting them in the house of God, not just dropping them off so I can go shopping somewhere. A little pet peeve of mine, but I've seen it happen way too many times. And as them teenagers grew up, they wonder, why do I even bother to go to church? My parents, so-called parents, who were kind of, are supposedly a cornerstone of the church, they don't care about church. They just drop me off every Sunday night. But you know what? You being consistent. You being a good example. You leading by example. Boy, you know, be obedient to the will of God. You know, again, all I want my kids just to desire to be whatever it is God wants them to be. And make sure that is what God wants them to do. You know, if it's to be a missionary, great. If it's to go ahead and go into engineering, praise the Lord. Whatever it is, I want them to go ahead and simply be and do what God wants them to be. But you know what? One sure way of them going ahead and finding God's perfect will is I got to go ahead and desire God's will as well. I've got to be in the will of God. And I said it this morning, you know what? At this particular moment, even I hope at least until I'm 90, because I do plan on living to 90. Some of you think, yeah, I ain't going to make it, preacher. But I'd like to, you know, I don't know if I'll stand behind this pulpit at 90. But at this moment, I'm standing smack dab in the center of God's will. I don't entertain any other church. I don't entertain thinking about taking any other church. I don't entertain any other thought of any other ministry. I'm standing. Why? Because I'm right where God wants me to be. I'm where God wants me to be. And I want my children to go ahead and desire that as well. I have a responsibility. We have a responsibility of the next three generations. And I'd like to see me, if I'm following God's will and taking heed to God's will, and my children, they go ahead and see mama and daddy desiring God's will and doing what God wants them to do. And they grow up and they get married and they go ahead and grab some of the things that they taught. And then they find some different things as far as raising their kids and so forth, but passing on the faith to them, and then them passing their faith from mama to children down to their kids. Hey, you know what? We have that responsibility to go ahead and teach and train some generations also down the road. Boy, what's it take? Right living. I must live right. I must have an awe and a reverence for God. I must not be rebellious to God. I'm talking about me as a parent. I must not be rebellious to God. I must be reverent to God. God, you're awesome, which will enable me to react to His word. So if I desire God's will, okay, I get saved, I get baptized, because the Bible says that first step after salvation is baptism. And then, you know, I get into the Word of God, get discipled, grow in grace, the knowledge of our Lord and Savior, and so forth. Boy, there ought to be a change in me. There ought to be there's a new desire in me. The old things are passed away. The old new things have become new. I desire to be whatever God wants me to be. And then as a result of me growing, I get into the Word of God. So once I get the Word of God in me, I must react to it. Do what it says. You know, again, all of that, watching your children watching you. You know, a lot of parenting, you know, a lot of our problems in parenting would be if we would just go ahead and do what the Bible says and just react to what God teaches us. And then, leading by example. Now, none of us here, some of you you're all sitting down, right? Okay, none of you parents here, including myself, you ready for this one? You don't have perfect kids. Are you shocked? Anybody shocked? Okay, you okay? Are we okay now? You don't have perfect kids. All right? But parents, we have that responsibility to go ahead and teach them and set some boundaries up for them to try to teach them from going off and living the way. You know, some people think, well, you know, I'll just do the very best I can. As a parent, I'll just go ahead and do the very best I can and just, you know, when they get to a certain age, like 12 or 13, you know, there's at a point, there's not anything you can do with it, with them. So we'll just see how it turns out. No. We kind of give up on our parenting about the time that they're 12 or 13 years old. We kind of give up our parenting about the time, maybe even a little early, about fourth or fifth grade. You know, they start acting like brats. You know, and I know some of you aren't going to like this, but I'll just let the chips fall where it may. And you find out real quick that your child acts foolishly. We all do. The Bible says, I think it's Proverbs 22:15, foolishness is bound in the heart of a child, but the rod of correction will, what's that? Will drive it far away. We don't like that, but it is biblical. We find out that about third, fourth, fifth grade, and we kind of spoil them, and we kind of spoil them rotten, and, you know, they become brats. You don't like that, I know, but it's true. I've seen it. I mean, you know, you kind of spoil them, and then you kind of wonder why, you know, and then you're shocked when they say no to you when you ask them to do something. No, I don't want to do that. Huh? And the truth is, listen to me. You know what? Parents, you find out that they got a sinful heart. And the Bible says, I'm not talking about beating here, but the Bible does say that you get a rod of correction, which is a spanking rod, so to speak. And you go ahead and you want to drive that foolishness far away. You know what? You've got to be consistent. When they do wrong, when they go ahead and they break the rules, there's a consequence. And you need to go ahead and according to God's word. I know it's not politically correct today. I'm not politically correct. I want to be Bible correct. Amen. And I want to do everything I can. And let me tell you something. When you go ahead and you do that when they're young, as far as the area of spanking, it gets easier when they become teenagers. I mean that. I'm not saying they become perfect, but it becomes easier. You go ahead and you nip some things in the bud, and they know what the rules are. And if they go ahead, they break the rules and different things and so forth. And you know that it is an infraction, that is a spanking, so to speak, infraction. And by the way, don't go ahead and discipline in anger. Okay, let it cool off. You cool off. I mean, if you're ticked off at your kid because they did something, whatever, they did something according to the Bible that was foolish. Okay, you set some rules, and you know what? Okay, that is a spanking infraction, so you got me ticked off. Go to your room, cool off a little bit. Then you go in, and you do whatever it is you have to do. But you know what? You go in there, and when you do, you don't... Again, the rod is important. I don't have a lot of time with it tonight, but Proverbs 22:15 is one great verse on this area or of that sort of punishment. We don't hear it anymore. You know what? I grew up, you know, I know some of you, it's hard to believe that your preacher wasn't a perfect kid. I know it's hard to believe that. You know, I know you think, you know, I know it's hard to believe. You know, I was, you know, you ask my mom, I was an angel. She'll tell you what? I don't, she probably have, but no. And you know what? And I do thank God that my parents disciplined me according to God's word. I didn't like it all the time, but I do thank God for it. And you know what? I turned out all right. And listen to me. You know what? If we're gonna teach and train our kids, we need to be consistent. And well, you know what? They get to certain, you know, it's my little baby girl, it's my little baby boy. Oh no! You know what? Again, it's not a beating. Okay, it's a swat. That may sting a little bit, and it's trying to teach them a lesson not to go ahead and do it again. Now, I know that's not very popular today and may not be very popular to some in this church, but I do know what works because it's Bible way. Amen. God says it. And a lot of the problems we have with our kids today, you know, if we would go ahead and get back to Bible discipline, we wouldn't have to go ahead and put all these kids on all these drugs anymore. That are out there. We're just too afraid to go ahead. We feel like we got to be diplomatic with our children, sit down, negotiate with them. Nowhere in the Bible does it say we negotiate with our children. Mom and Dad, you're the head of the home. And you, in one way of teaching, I know it's very quiet tonight. I feel like I'm all by myself, but God is with me. Amen. But you know, the truth of the matter is, and I don't even know where I was going with that thought, but you know what? We need to, if we would go back to old-fashioned discipline, and you know, and I know, and can I just say, this wasn't even part, can I just say this, and you got to be careful. There was a day that if your child did wrong, you could go ahead and take care of it then and there, off in a corner somewhere. You can't do that anymore. Okay, I understand that. And you got to, and you know, I am asking you to, you know, if you're going to say, I'm going to implement the Bible way, God's way, not the preacher's way, God's way of disciplining my kids. Okay? If I'm going to do that, then you got to be smart about it nowadays. Okay? Get them home. Cool off a little bit. Get them home. And then take care of it at home. Don't do it out in public. You know, a lot of people think, well, bless God, is my kids, and I'm going to do it God's way right then. And you know, that's not always wise. My parents, you know, whatever. Again, this perfect angel as a kid, you know. I really was. I mean, anyways. But whenever that would happen, my parents never disciplined me, to my knowledge, you know, and I had to have a few of them out in the open. And I hated it. Believe me, I'm the kind of guy, let's deal with it now. Let's just go, you know, I want it over with. You know what I mean? Especially if my dad was coming in, let's just do it. Let's get it over with. You know what I mean? My mom just, you know, she didn't whack quite as hard. I'll just put it that way. But we'd go ahead and say, you know what, when you get home, you're going to say, okay, let's do it now. But, you know, so I'm, but you know how it is. You get in the car and you hope the dust will settle and they're going to forget all about it. So you know what you do? You know what you do? You go ahead and you're in the car. You're like chatty cat. You're talking, hey, you know, oh man, we had a great day, you know, and you're just talking about everything other than what you did wrong. You're doing everything. Yeah, and they'll kind of talk, yeah, son, that was good. You know, you kind of chit-chatting as a family should. And then by the time you get out of the car, you say, go to your room. Huh? I was just nice to you. I thought, you know, 5 minutes ago, things were good. You know what I mean? We were really, you know. But anyways, but talk about discipline. I know, you know, listen, but you got to be careful. And I'm not, there's a difference between a beating and a spanking. There's a vast difference there. That wasn't part of my notes, but it is biblical, by the way. And I know some will disagree. Okay. Whatever. But you know, the truth of the matter is you ought to really consider what God says about it before you decide. But we have that responsibility. I must live right. I must not rebel against God, or else a sure thing, my kids may go ahead and rebel against God. As I go ahead and become obedient to His word, then you know what? You're setting yourself up as a good example to your kids, so that it might be something that they will grab for, if you will. And then He will reward me. When you go ahead and you take your responsibility, parent, as a serious matter, then He'll reward me. Verse number 3, hear therefore, O Israel, and observe to do it. Okay, do it. It's a command now, that it may be well with thee. Okay, you go ahead and you take the words and so forth and you do what the Bible says, then it's going to be well with thee. God says it's going to be well with thee, and that ye may increase mightily. It says you'll increase mightily, as the Lord God of thy fathers hath promised thee in the land which floweth with milk and honey. You know what? It pays to be obedient. In other words, you go ahead and you do what the Bible says. What we are telling them by our actions, okay, hold on now. No, I'm sorry, verse... See, again, I'm in a whole different format here. God promised to bless those, okay? God is saying here that He blesses those who do His will and follows the will of God. Psalms, let me turn to Psalms. We know this verse, these verses pretty well, but Psalms verses 1, 2, and 3. The Bible says, chapter 1, blessed is a man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in His law doth he meditate day and night. And he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water, that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. His leaf shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. God promises, though you obey me, I will bless you. Just as simple as that. It's what He says back there in verse number 3. You obey me, I'm going to go ahead and bless you. I'll increase you mightily. You observe what I say, you know, I will go ahead and bless you. Psalms 1 also says that. And you know what? And your children, okay, need to see that God will do what He says. And He will do what He says. So, again, it's all boils down to obedience. You obey Him. If you're going to live righteously, okay, it boils down to obedience, doing what He says and so forth. React to doing what He says, the Word of God says. Follow His will, and then you'll get rewarded. God will bless you. He promises it. Our children need to see that God will do what He says. Question, let me ask you a couple questions here real quick. Do your children know that God will bless tithing? Do they? You know, the Bible says very clear in Malachi 3:18. I'm just going to turn to it a little bit. But does your children ought to see that some of these things work? I got a couple questions here, but let me turn to Malachi. You know, we know the verses, but let me just turn to it real quick. The Bible says in Malachi chapter 3, verse 8, will a man rob God? Yet ye have robbed me, but ye say, wherein have ye robbed thee in tithes and offerings? Ye are cursed with a curse. So as a result of not tithing, if you will, okay, you will be cursed with a curse, the Bible says. For ye have robbed me, even this whole nation. Bring ye, now here's the responsibility, here's how we do it. Bring ye all, okay, here's the obedience, if you will. Bring ye all the tithes in the storehouse, that there may be meat in mine house, and prove me now. Okay, try me out, check out and see if I'll show up, so to speak. Test me out, check me out. Prove me now herewith, saith the Lord of hosts, if I will not open you the windows of heaven and pour out a blessing, that there shall not be room enough to receive it. So let me ask you a question. You obeying God's will as far as your money. Okay, we don't like this as well. I know I'm not making very many friends tonight, but I'm going to let the chips fall where it may a little bit. Show you some of the Bible. But do your children know that God will bless you because you're a tither? Do they see that? Do they see the evidence of your obedience in that area? Okay, we'll move along. Number two, do they know that God blesses your honesty? In 1 Thessalonians, let me just show you another verse here. 1 Thessalonians, the Bible says in chapter 4, verse number 11, "In that ye study to be quiet and do your own business and to work with your hands as we commanded you, that ye may walk honestly toward them that are without and that ye may have lack of nothing." Then you can turn to, I'm not going to take time, Philippians 4:8 also talks about honesty. But do they know that they will bless honesty? Are you honest? Are you honest in your dealings? Are you upfront in your dealings? Do your kids see that? Do they see that God blesses you because you're an honest individual, an honest parent, if you will, an honest Christian? Okay, let's get out of the bounds of parenting a minute. But does your wife or do your children in your household? Do your children in your Sunday school class? Do they believe that you're an honest Sunday school teacher? I mean, they ought to see that. Honest with your time. You know, the time that you have allotted to go ahead and give them the word of God and so forth. Do they see that you're an honest Christian? Do they see that faithfulness to God will be blessed? The Bible says in Matthew, just show a few verses here, and I'm overloaded. The rest of my message after this will be quick, but Matthew chapter 25, verse 21, the Bible says, "His Lord said unto him, Well done, thou good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things. I will make thee ruler over many things. Enter thou into the joy of the Lord." Okay? Do they see that your faithfulness will be blessed? Well, you ought to be faithful, mom and dad. You know what? You become faithful to your Bible reading, your prayer closet, and they ought to have an idea that you walk with God just by your testimony. And do they see that you're faithful, faithful to church and faithful the way you ought to be, faithful to work, all the responsibilities that you have, faithful to your wife, faithful to your husband? They ought to see that. Do they know that faithfulness will be blessed? No questions about when it comes to godly things. Well, you know, I don't know if I got time for church today. I don't know if I got time for this today. Boy, we make time for everything else, don't we? Amen. Do children see serving God as optional or mandatory by the way you live your life? I'm talking to parents again now. But do they see that, well, you know, if I serve, I serve. If I don't, I don't. Do they see it as optional or mandatory? You know, we got to reproduce ourselves, reproduce our Christian faith. And I'm not saying going out and being a missionary or full-time pastor or whatever the case may be. I'm not necessarily saying that. But you know what? God, I think, has given every Christian an obligation to serve in the local church. And it ought not be something, well, you know, if I have time, if I do that, you know, when I get to it, whatever. No. You ought to decide, hey, you know, I'm a Christian. I'm saved. I'm growing in grace. I'm reading my Bible. I see what the Bible says. I need to be faithful to church. And I also need to be faithful in the church, if you will. I ought to find myself a ministry, whatever the case may be. There's a whole list of things to do. And you know what? That'll speak volumes in the lives of your kids, because as they grow up, maybe they won't go into full-time Christian service, but they'll go ahead and see, you know what? My dad and my mom were faithful to church, and because they were faithful to church, they were faithful in ministry and so forth, and that's the kind of parent I want to be. So they follow in step with you, so to speak, and they're training their children the same way. We have that responsibility. Do they see serving the Lord as mandatory or optional? Hey, you know what? What's it take? I'm going to move forward, skip a little bit here. Move forward. Right living takes right loving. The Bible says briefly here, Verses 4 and 5, get back to my text. "Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord. And thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thine heart," not some or a little bit, "with all thine heart, with all thy soul, and with all thy might." You know what? God ought to be, we ought to be leading by example, and God ought to be our main focus. For everybody here, he ought to be our main focus. Boy, if our nation would get back to having God be our main focus again, like it used to be, boy, you know what? We'd have a whole different nation tonight. But you know, our homes would be a whole lot different if God would go ahead and be our main focus. He ought to be, so to speak, the love of our life, so to speak. I call my wife, she's the love of my life, but you know, I'm going to go as a Christian, I'm going to go beyond that. God is the love of my life, and I want to go ahead and serve him, and he ought to be our focus. He ought to be who we're zoomed upon, and we ought to desire to please him, not some sport or some hobby or some job or whatever. You know what? We ought to keep God number one. Hey, remember, whatever we put before God is an idol. I'll say it again. Whatever we put before God is an idol. And as a result of us following that idol over God, you know what? It's sending a false message to our kids. And it's no wonder. Serve God? Why do I want to serve God? Because our priorities get out of whack. You know, you better, the Bible says, thou shalt have no other gods before me. Listen, what comes before it between you and God? Parents, trying to get our homes, trying to help the Faith Baptist Church homes, if you will. What comes between you and God? It ought to be zero, nothing. No one, no thing, so to speak, ought to come between you and your walk with the Lord. And if it does, you know, it will go ahead and be passed down. Your children will ultimately, in many cases, do what they witness. Moving right along, right living, right loving, and then right learning. What's it involve? It involves right learning. The Bible says in verses 6 through 9, and these words, let's talk about the word of God as they had it at this time, and these words which I commanded thee this day shall be in thine heart. Thou shalt teach them diligently unto thy children, and shalt talk of them when thou sittest in thine house, and when thou walkest by the way, and when thou liest down, when thou risest up. Thou shalt bind them for a sign upon thine hand, and they shall be as frontless between thine eyes. Thou shalt write them upon the posts of thy house and on thy gates. You know what? Okay, what's it required to be the kind of parent I ought to be? Okay, I've got to live right. I've got to love right, and I've got to go ahead and learn right. I've got to learn some things. Again, it's the Word of God. Focus right in on the Word of God. The words of God ought to be in your heart. Okay, you ought to go ahead again, walk with God every day, and they ought to be in your heart. They need to be a part of your life every day. I made one statement at the very beginning. You know what? Successful parenting determines on what kind of relationship you have with God. That's where it starts. And you know, we need to have a relationship with this book. We need to teach them. The Bible says, teach them diligently. And thou shalt teach them diligently unto thy children. Well, teach what? Okay, teach the words of God diligently, consistently to our kids. You know, in some cases, you know what? Daddy, you ought to know enough Bible. I'm not saying be a Bible scholar, if you will. I'm not necessarily saying that. But you ought to know enough Bible to be able to answer some of your kids' questions when they have a question. Why is it that I need to live clean and pure? Why is it that I'm supposed to give a tenth of my income? Why is it that I'm supposed to do this or do that? Or so, and we ought to have enough Bible knowledge as a result of us walking with God every day to be able to go ahead and teach him the principles of the Word of God. And you know what? Let me just say this. I've had to say it before. Whenever a child or even anybody maybe comes to counseling, why this? Sometimes I don't know the answer. But you know what? I'll go ahead and say, you know what? If you give me just give me a little time, and tomorrow I'll call you. Or within the next couple hours, I'll go ahead and bring you in. I'll talk to you about it. I don't know all the answers. But you know what? If someone, some vulnerable child, you're talking about your children now. If your child wants to know something from the Word of God, boy, we ought to be prepared to give them an answer. We ought to be prepared to give them what it is they need that they're trying to learn. But we need to teach them diligently, consistently. When the Bible teaches, right in the house, everywhere you go. Don't be ashamed of God. Let them see you praise the Lord. Let them see God all over you. You know what? Again, your testimony ought to speak volumes for who you are in Christ. The world ought to be able to look at you and say, there's something different about you. Your children, okay, ought to know that you're real and say, there's something different about my mom and dad. Whatever it is, I'm going to find whatever it is that my daddy has or my mama has, and I want it. I want the kind of power of God that my daddy portrays. I want the kind of prayer life that my mama portrays. I want the kind of prayer life that my preacher or my Sunday school teacher, youth worker portrays. Hey, I want it. And there ought to be something about you, whether it be on the workplace or wherever you go, there ought to be something about you that people say, there's something different about you. And you know what? That opens up a great soul winning opportunity. Hey, let me tell you why it is I'm so different. I know Jesus. Let me tell you how you can know Jesus. Do you know for sure if you die today, you'd be 100% sure you'd go to heaven? And it's a gospel witness. I can go ahead and share them the gospel. But there ought to be something different about you in every way of your life. Let the word of God be seen in you like a sign. It ought to be seen. Let them see the Word of God. Keep the Word of God before them. Again, doing the right thing ought not be a decision. Well, you know, it's fair to say, and maybe I pound this a lot, maybe too hard. I don't think it's too hard, but too hard for some of us, I suppose. But you know what? Church ought not be a decision. Amen. Ought not be it. Well, you know, I guess I go today or whenever. It ought not be a decision. You know what? We need to be doing the right thing. We ought to be living in such a way that our kids want what we have. I'm talking about spiritually, in such a way that our kids want what we have. And you know what? Let me just stop and say this. Maybe you're here, you're a parent, and your kids went to the world. You know what? Listen, it might be that you never knew some of this stuff. It might be. But you can't, listen, let me just stop and say this graciously. You can't beat yourself up over, okay, well, my kids, oh, man, preacher, I wish I knew this way back years ago and so forth. I wish I understood this a little bit more years ago. Man, my kids are off into the world and so forth. You know what? You know the best thing you do as a parent now? Pray for them. Bow a knee and pray every single day for, oh, God, protect my child. Oh, I wish I knew the book like I knew it, not like I understand it now, but God, would you please protect them? I pray they'd come to saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. Hey, you know, you can pray for them. Hey, let's do what's right. Why do I, you know, God is just, hey, this summer, I should say, God just kind of burned my heart on just a short series. I got a couple more messages on keeping the home fires burning. Spoke on marriage a couple weeks ago, and of course tonight a little more pointed to we parents. When I read some of this stuff, and kind of God slaps me around too, and he shows me some things that I ought to do and ought not do. You know, I'll tell you, I don't carry an A+ in this area of parenting. I, again, probably carry maybe a strong E for effort. But I certainly want to do right by my children. I want to go ahead and know my Bible. I want to get into the Bible and be able to answer their question and help them. I want to live in such a way that I hope and I pray daily that my kids will say, you know what, because my dad desires God's will, my mama desires God's will, I just want to go ahead and do whatever it is that God wants me to do. And every parent ought to desire that. Every parent here, you know, if you still have, it doesn't matter where you are in your parent, you know what, you ought to desire that. You pray for that. You know, you got a child that's wayward tonight. Pray for that wayward child when you go home. Maybe at the altar in just a few minutes. Go ahead and pray for that child. Pray for him. Get on your knees and say, God. You know, maybe, you know what? And parents, you know, it's not a bad idea. Every single day, you ought to have a prayer list. And all of your family names, especially your immediate family, your husband or wife, and the names of your children ought to be right there. And every single day, you ought to breathe that name to the Lord in prayer. Every single day. Every day as a parent, you ought to say, God, give me wisdom. A lot of junk out there for kids to follow. Just, it is a different world. I think it's a different world than when I was a 70s kid. I'm dating me a little bit. I'm 40 years old and I'm proud of it. Amen? Amen. But you know, the truth is, listen, but there's a lot of stuff out there today. You know what? And parents, you got to go ahead and sometimes it may seem mean and tough, but you've got to combat some things, and sometimes you just got to say that word, little word, one of the first words we ever learned in our vocabulary, no. And if they ask why, okay, tell them why it is that we can't do that or you can't do that. Tell them why. Our Heavenly Father, God, you know my heart as pastor, God, I just want to help our families. I want to help our kids, and I pray our kids would, I know tonight it may not have been so much on them, but I pray, Lord, that you'd help them to learn some principles as to when they will be leading a child one day. Some of our young people, teenagers, are leading children now, and there's some things here. Boy, you know what? Just the fact that they are to walk with God so they can be an example to them bus kids, them children that they oversee. I pray, God, that you'd help them be the example they need to be. I pray, God, especially for our parents tonight, that you'd help us go ahead and teach and train biblically according to the Word of God without question, without saying that's not right. But if it's biblical, I pray, God, that we desire to raise our kids biblically. Pray, Lord, that we be busy training the next generation. Pray, Lord, you'd have your will and way. Our heads are bowed, our eyes are closed. God spoke to your heart tonight. We'll take an invitation. I won't take a raise of hands. Let's stand to our feet. If God spoke to your heart tonight, I'm going to urge you. Maybe it's an area of parenting. Maybe kids, God spoke to you in some other way. Teenagers, whatever. If God spoke to you tonight, the piano's are going to play all to Jesus. I surrender all to him. I freely give. Downstairs, I believe, today. And I think a few went forward, and I guess there was a few repeats. You always get that in junior church, but one was a first timer. Praise the Lord for that. Appreciate all the work that the guy. I don't know what goes on downstairs. I know that it's handled, and I praise the Lord for that. But we got Brother Joe and Brother Robles down there, and he's still doing your puppets down there, right? Man of not as often. All right. Okay, good. So you're helping out with all that and got people helping out. Well, praise the Lord for that. And so who's Michelle? I have to find that out. Who are you, Michelle?
She just means I'm down there.
Oh, I thought she was helping with the puppets. Oh, I was confused. Didn't take much. Today I've been kind of confused all morning. You know, started out the service. I didn't know how to start out. Everything seemed to go, you know, if you were up here this morning, you know, I'm just talking a little bit. You've heard enough of me, but anyways. But, you know, normally we start the congregational song and then I pray and then go to the choir. I don't know what got in me. I just wanted to pray first. Amen. Just get God in the thing, you know, whatever in the service and everything just, and then we never did have our choir song. So I don't know why, but just one of them days, just felt a lot of little pressure here and there. But I was feeling comfortable, real comfortable once I got down to the preaching anyway, so that went all right. But anyways, enough of me. Go ahead and say whatever you want to say, brother.
Let's pray, amen. Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for this timely message. Lord, I know there were areas of my life tonight that were challenged. And Lord, help me, for the sake of my children, to be all that you want me to be. Lord, that we might lead them to the next generation and they be faithful. And Lord, be everything you want them to be and everything you want for them. Thank you that we can come to a place where preaching can challenge us. And Lord, and the Holy Spirit can bring conviction to our lives. And Father, two choices we have, either to accept it humbly and submit ourselves or to reject it openly. And Lord, thereby, Lord, we were hurt by it. We don't want that area of life. We want to be faithful. And so, Lord Jesus, we pray that you just be with us this week. Give us safety as we drive home, Lord. And thank you for everything that is said and done here today. In Jesus' name, amen.